Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton. We have our first ever guest on Take the Red Pill by the name of Chessy Roberts. Chessy is the founder and president and mindset mentor of Evolution of Self, Journey into Body, Mind, and Spirit. Her Evolution of Self-Information is an experiential program that retrains one's thought processes to create a more positive, laser-focused mindset that will cascade throughout their entire life. The new, consciously aware mindset will change everything to a healthier balance within one's body, mind, and spirit. These changes will allow them to help themselves to achieve a goal of life wholeness and manifest what they truly desire. Based on the premise of how and what we think about changes, only when we change what it is and how we think about it, Chessy Roberts' Evolution of Self, Journey into Body, Mind, and Spirit gives one the foundation to achieve this goal, and in the process, evolve through ourself. To find out more about Chessy and the work she is doing, go to her LinkedIn page at www.linkedin.com/in/Chessy Roberts, and we'll definitely post that link at the end in the show notes. So welcome, Chessy. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Donald? Hi, David.
Good evening.
I'm good. David and I are very excited to have you as our first ever guest.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for asking me.
Oh yeah, our pleasure. This is going to be a lot of fun today.
So David, would you like to introduce our topic?
So today what we're going to be talking about is karma. And specifically, we want to kind of tie it a little bit to the law of attraction and kind of see how those two either meet or don't meet or conflict. So Chessy, we're going to go ahead and put you on the spot right out of the gate if you want to kind of give your two bits on karma.
That's okay. My karma ran over my dogma. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Just scrape it off the street.
Yeah, really. Now, my husband and I were talking about this, and we kind of see destiny, karma, and the law of attraction like this. We see destiny is what we're going to make out of our lives. Karma is how we're going to shape that destiny. And the law of attraction is kind of the tool we use to achieve the end result that we want.
Do you think that destiny interferes with law of attraction as most people understand it?
That's a really good question, and I think the answer is very subjective. If you choose for it to, yes, it will. If you choose for it not to, no, it won't.
We recorded our episode on destiny just a few weeks ago. And when it comes to destiny, Donald and I kind of were going back and forth talking about how some of our destiny is kind of guided based on choices maybe in between incarnations, and how karma really kind of plays an influence and a role in that. So what part of that is really in our control, and what part of it isn't in our control, as you know, by your opinion?
Well, like I said, I feel that that's kind of subjective. It depends on exactly what your own personal definition of destiny and karma is. Some people don't believe in either one of them. Some people believe in one more than the other one. I've talked to several people about this topic and have read quite a bit about it just because it's out there and I'm curious. And some people believe that destiny is preordained and you can't change it no matter what you do. I find that, in my opinion, I'll repeat that, in my opinion, I feel that that's a little bit self-defeating. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that the Creator would lock us into this rigid goose step of whatever is going on without giving us an opportunity to change that if we need to. And so I kind of feel that you can change your destiny if you choose to do so.
Yeah, I kind of see karma as tied in with personality as well. You know, kind of like your personality is the core of who you are. I mean, some people are really good athletes just naturally and other people aren't. Some people are just really good people naturally. And other people, you know, are just really good hermits. So if we work with the law of attraction, where my understanding is you can attract anything into your life that, you know, you desire. If it goes against your natural personality, which I see tied in with karma completely, then is it really possible that we can attract into our lives and have different things that could possibly go against our personality and or karma? And does the law of attraction work that way? Or would we actually have to completely change who we are at the core level to have law of attraction work in some cases?
Well, do you know what the word karma means? Karma is a Sanskrit word that means action. And a lot of people see karma as the consequences, sort of a cause and effect thing.
That'd be me.
Of our actions, and you either create good actions, good karma, or you do naughty things and create bad karma. I would like to believe, and I do, as you grow and as you mature through your spirituality and you start to wake up and see things the way they are, that cosmic truth that all is one and one is all, and that when you find yourself running into some of your karmic debt, if you will, that you have the ability to change that, again, if you choose to turn that around.
Right.
I don't believe that it's all good or it's all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Nature seems to like balance in all things. If you don't have that, if the pendulum swings too far in either direction, you're going to run into things that you'd rather not run into. It's when you have a balance between all of these things that things go well. So if you choose to look for the balance in your life, the karma destiny thing kind of works itself out.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I have found that as I pursue the law of attraction more and more, the karma destiny sort of falls away. It's sort of like chaff on wheat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you throw it up into the wind, it blows away, and what's left is a usable product. Well, as I grow and as I reach for the next rung on my ladder, these other things aren't as important to me as they were, say, I don't know, a year ago.
You know, it sounds to me, Chessie, like you're saying that when you kind of work more in accordance with, I don't know if you want to call it your, I don't want to say destiny, because destiny is kind of a weird, there's too much implication there. But
right.
I guess it's your destiny. It's your you know, we saw Darth Vader holding out his hand, you know. Destiny. But more
Luke,
so
I am your father.
What if he said he was his mother? That would have been like, I am your mother. You know? But as far as destiny. Sorry, this is what happens.
I got the whole thing.
Luke, I am your mother. Oh, wait, I mean your father.
Yeah, you can hide anything
under
that
weird
costume.
You just had to set him off, didn't you, David?
I did, I know. And I used Star Trek, and we all know it. Or Star Wars. Whoops. Whoa.
Oh.
I got nerd lapse confusion there.
Your geek card just lost a couple points.
It sure did, yep. It's going to be suspended for
a week. I would use the word guidance, because that's what I go by more than destiny or karma.
Okay.
My guidance knows what I'm supposed to be doing, so when I run into I don't know what I'm doing, I just sit down for a minute and ask them.
It sounds similar to what Donald had mentioned in an earlier episode. In fact, I think it was a little bit about karma. He was talking about your higher self. We were playing with the term we wanted to use, but I'll use higher self. He was saying that your higher self kind of has a direction that it wants you to go for certain life experiences. And correct me if I'm wrong. This is my interpretation, is if you are in alignment with what your higher self would like you to experience, then things will start being more like an easy flow, kind of like letting yourself be carried by a river. And I tie that back to what you were saying about balances, is that if you believe in reincarnation, if you believe there's different carnations and you have an experience in one and you want to have a contrasting or a different or a balancing experience in another incarnation, to me, that's what karma really is. It's really more just kind of balancing out incarnations so that you can kind of have a more rich life experience, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I agree with you, because it goes back to what I said right from the jump. Destiny is what we make it, and karma is how we shape it.
I like that. Did you write that down, Donald?
Yeah.
That's
I like that.
Quote,
I do like
that's
that.
That's a quote from my husband, and he said, you may quote him, but credit him.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, and he said, too, that the law of attraction is the tool that you use to achieve the ends you desire. And so we've kind of come full circle, but I completely agree with you. one of the wonderful things about being a spiritual being in this human incarnation is as we wake up and as we reconnect, we begin to remember what we knew before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll clarify that just a little bit. I believe from everything that I was found in my research pulling together evolution of self, we're born with all this information that we need to have to create what we want in our life during this incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is as we grow and learn, we are tutored by the village that raises us, our parents, our teachers, our friends, our other relatives, the society that we grow up in. And what that does for us, it disconnects our body, our mind, and our spirit, and it segments us. So as we become segmented through this learning process that we all go through, and it's not done to hurt us, it's not done to thwart us, it's what other people think we should be learning, and it's perfectly natural, it creates this segmented person. We're cut off from the natural rhythms around us, and once that happens, your body and your mind kind of part company, and your spirit follows. So as we begin to wake up, and as we begin to mature spiritually, and as we begin to ponder questions like this destiny, karma, law of attraction thing, what we're actually doing is we are remembering everything we already knew. One of the lyrics in one of my songs is, I have to remember what I haven't thought of yet.
I like that.
And it's that going back to our mental file cabinet, going back to this, some people call it Akashic Records. Some people call it the collective unconscious. Some people call it all kinds of things, but it's all the same stuff. It's the substance of creation that we're tapping back into. And as we do that, we re-inject ourselves with this information that we already had.
So basically, if I understand you correctly, when we follow our internal guidance, our intuition, we will move closer to ourself that we were remembering what we didn't know we had forgotten. My question with that comes, what if you consciously decide that you want something that is outside what you feel that you are? Theoretically, just for an idea, let's say you're a rock star and all of a sudden you want to be an accountant and you have no ability for numbers or figuring out that whatsoever, but it's something that you really want to do. Would you then be able to, use the law of attraction to move yourself to there? And if you did, would you gain any pleasure from it? Because to me, it would seem like you're going against your nature.
Well, I would say this. If it is something that you want to do, and that's what you said, you want to be an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you want, if that's your burning desire, if that's where your heart lies, then there is information in your file cabinet, your own personal private file cabinet, that has that possibility of something for you to do. And if you strive for that because you truly want it, then yeah, you can get there and know it's not going against anything. We aren't given things to do that we can't accomplish. We try, before we become awake and aware, we try to do things that others tell us we should be doing that is outside our capability to embrace. And you have people who don't like their job. You have people who don't like their spouse. You have people who don't like this and don't like that. You hear about it all the time. And it's because they are trying to live their lives by committee. They're doing things that they have decided, my mother expects me to do this. My father expects me to do this. My village thinks that I should be this. And if that's not in your nature, you're miserable. So I would say if you're miserable where you are, don't be there. Choose to go somewhere where you're happy. And if it's an accountant, no offense to accountants, but I can't imagine being happy there, but that's just so against my nature, then go be an accountant. Go be the best accountant you can be and just wallow in the happiness of it.
Well, it's interesting what you're saying about being what it is that you're kind of drawn to. I think that's kind of what I'm getting. That doesn't necessarily fit into what's created to you by the environment you brought up in? You referred to it as being segmented, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're using the accountant as an example, and Donald, you'd said that what if a person doesn't have an aptitude for math or something like that, but they really want to be an accountant?
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to be an accountant, it doesn't. I don't think having the aptitude is relevant in this case. It seems like really it's all about the passion. And if you're really passionate about, oh, good. I mean, not that you have to. I'm not saying that.
No. It goes right in with what I was saying. If you decide there's your passion, and you hear this in law of attraction meetings all the time, you don't have to ask how it's going to happen. You just want it to happen, so it does.
Right.
You don't worry about the building blocks. That's where your other stuff comes in. That's where the law of attraction, that's where the universe works. You just put it out there that this is my passion and this is what I want, and it will happen.
I think there's an element, too, that I think can be added to this. Like, for example, writers. They say if you want to be a writer, the best way to be a writer is to write, because once you write, you're a writer. It's that kind of thing, rather than, no, you're an author if you're published. That's a whole other thing. But if you want, most people are saying, they don't say they want to be a author. They want to be a writer because they're so compelled to write.
Right.
And the term is just write. So I think it's kind of a process of, again, the road traveled rather than the actual destiny. And if the road that you're traveling is fulfilling and fills you with passion, then whether you get there is irrelevant. You're going to die in the middle of whatever you're doing. So it might as well be something the passion does resonate
with
you.
That's it.
I am not going to go out eating pea soup. I'm sorry. There are too many comic things in TV and movies where, you know, it's just like, oh, this is pretty good.
Well, Donald, when it happens, we'll just point and laugh. No, you're right. Your life from cradle to grave is all about the journey and the growth that you achieve. And if you can't grow happy, why bother?
Mm-hmm.
We get so caught up in the drama and the, I'll say, negativity of everything we don't like. If you don't believe me, read Facebook. If you don't believe me, watch television. You want to see drama? Talk to a teenage girl. Oh, my goodness. There's more drama there than you know what to do with. But the thing is, if you choose to step off of that path, which we three have done, or we wouldn't be where we are now, and it's not just us, that's a big club, and as people are choosing to see the road less taken and step onto it, because that's where they're drawn, that's where their burning desire, if you will, leads them, you're going to find that that's what you need to be doing. I was working as a CNA, on Certified Nurse's Aide. I was giving people baths and changing diapers and doing all kinds of exciting things. And for a while, I liked it because I was actually helping people who truly needed help. And then medical politics reared its ugly head, and I was no longer happy in my job. And I started seeing a shrink to help me through all of this. And she says to me, after about the third, fourth time I was there, she said, when are you going to stop doing the job that you don't like? She used the H word, but I don't use it anymore. And go do what you love. And I said, you know what? You have a point there. So I submitted my resignation the next day, and my husband and I went out and made a living with our music for the next 5 years.
Wow.
Excellent.
And it was following my bliss, if you will, that got me to start looking around and saying, you know what, I don't have to do this just because my mother says, or I don't have to do this just because Joe Blow from Kokomo says that this is the right thing to do. And it's when you stop living your life by committee and ask yourself, what do I really want? What makes me happy?
Well, Chessie, I want to ask you something, mm-hmm. and this does tie back a little bit back to the karma part. Whether it be a karmic experience that was whatever it is. There are so many things that happen in life that we may carry either fear or phobia or something really bigger than ourselves. People do tie it back to karma. Donald and I have talked about, you know, the whole victim idea. But sometimes there are some fears and there are some of these things that are so, so overwhelmingly huge and debilitating that people are literally paralyzed when it comes to moving toward where they want to go. So,
absolutely.
And sometimes we make it sound so easy to do. Well, just follow your passion.
Well, it's a very simple thing, but easy it's not.
Hmm. Okay.
I run into this a lot when I'm working with people one-on-one with the evolution of self. As we start working through the chakras, that's where all of this stuff is stored. And they find out they haven't dealt with something. I wrote a blog about living your life above the fear line.
Mm-hmm.
We have two emotions. We have fear, and the opposite of fear is love. Now, when you are operating from that fear line and below, no matter what you call it, greed, envy, sorrow, depression, whatever you want to call it, that's fear. It's all fear, and it will debilitate you. Until you face that down, and here again, choose to fix it, you will be stagnant. You will not grow. You will not learn. You will not. You will not. Now, once you can get above that fear line and start experiencing the love end of the spectrum, that is when the understanding, the growth, and the learning happens. The first thing you have to do is to decide you want to do it.
I think for a lot of people, using your terminology, they've lived so much of their life segmented that it's very difficult. I mean, a lot of people will say, well, I don't even know what I want. I don't even know what would make me happy. I don't even know what first step to take. I don't know, you know, I've done what I've done for so long that it's comfortable, but it's not fulfilling. It's not happy. And from what I understand from what you're saying with people that I've worked with, you know, what I do is I'm able to help people get to that first and possibly second step where it's just like, okay, let's not worry about what trying to find something that you love or whatever. Let's just talk for a minute. Then we'll get into your past a little bit. Then we'll get into what you do, because I personally have found that whether you admit to it or not, most people do what they love in one way or another, and they don't even realize that they're doing it. Like for me, just to give you an example, I've done, you know, accents and impersonations and stuff like that for years because, you know, I enjoy it, but I've never thought of it as something any more than that up until a few years ago when I was like, oh, maybe I should be a voice actor. If you'd mentioned that to me like 15, 20 years ago, I'd be like, no, I couldn't do that. You know, I just do it as for fun. And so I think that whole moving from a place of segmented mind, body, and spirit to a integrated mind, body, and spirit, I think that journey for a lot of people is very difficult to even start off because it's like, oh man, I have to go so far from where I am and that's going to be so much work and I'm already doing so much. And I think that's what you're talking about, where the choice comes in.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Maya Angelou said we've all got different devils on our shoulders and different dragons on our tail. And that's true. We do. What you're talking about is exactly right. It's sort of like being an abused spouse all your life. You get into the demon that you know and you get comfortable with it. You're not happy with it. You don't like it. It's not your bliss. It's not making you joyful. It's not bringing you any kind of joy, but it's what you know. To step out of that comfort zone, and that's what it is, and face the light again is a difficult road to hoe.
Oh, yeah.
But to come back to yourself enough to know that you need to make a choice to go in a different direction is huge. And once you make that choice, once you decide, you know, this is not working for me anymore, I need to change something. You start. Hey, you guys know how to eat an elephant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, one bite at a time.
That's
well,
right.
That's how you do this whole process. You take one thing and you change it. Even if it's the color of socks you wear on Monday, it's a conscious, aware choice to better something.
You're saying take action. Just at least take some kind of action.
Yes, take some kind of action. Get out of bed with a plan of action. Decide that you're going to move from to ho-hum. And once you get used to ho-hum, then you can go from ho-hum to rah. And then once you get to raw, you can go to, ooh, that looks good over there. I mean, if the grass isn't green on your side of the fence, either water your grass or move.
You know, sometimes I think it takes a catalyst for people, though, and it takes a big
Well, it does.
Push.
You know, he hit me one time too many. I have been back in the hospital more than I want to be. But, you know, everybody has a payoff of some kind in whatever it is they're doing. I had a student tell me once that they decided I was too positive. They were sick of my positive attitude. They wanted to stay sick. And me trying to get well was just a little more than they could stomach. And after I kind of was reeling from that, I said, well, you know what? If that's your choice,
right,
have at you. And bright blessings to you on your path. Well, this person's dead now. But I ask them why they wanted to be sick. And their payoff was that everyone waited on them hand and foot.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what this individual wanted in their life, and that's what they got till they didn't have a life anymore. And that's fine. That was that person's choice. Everybody has a choice. I have clients tell me all the time, I had no choice. I had to do this.
I get that too. I get that too.
No, you didn't. If you actually look at it, if you can look up from your feet just a little bit, you'll see that there is at least one other choice than the one you think you have. And when you decide to have enough fortitude and enough desire and enough belief in yourself to take that one step out of the box, even if it's, like I said, changing your sock color, and learn how to be yourself and be true to yourself, one of my things I teach my classes and my clients is to do what's worthy of you. And once you begin to really choose what your worth is and to do things that are worthy of you as the person you want to become, you begin to move forward. And believe me, once you become consciously aware and begin to move forward, you can't go back. It's uncomfortable, it's unpleasant, and you don't want to. All you can see is the good stuff ahead of you, and you keep going for that. The good stuff in front of you is your carrot, and you will follow it gladly.
I think one way that we can find a carrot, there's a book I read called The 15-Minute Miracle. I might have mentioned it on one of the other episodes. One of the things the author says to do is, when you're doing your daily affirmations, say, I love it when I feel, fill in the blank. When I feel whatever this is, and then you describe what that means to you or what it's like.
Something that can make that a little more powerful is say, I love that I feel.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Not when I feel.
You're not putting a future objective on it. You're actually just owning it into the present, right? And I like that, the whole idea of that, because it allows us to reconnect to the feeling of joy. I do believe a lot of people have lost that feeling of joy. They just don't even remember how to connect to the feeling of joy.
Or
so,
even wanting to have the desire to connect to it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of people get complacent in their feeling of misery or their feeling of sadness or loneliness or whatever it is.
That's that being comfortable with a demon you know.
Right. Being comfortable. And when you're just settled in, there's no motivation to get out. And I think a lot of people also don't even see an end in sight. They'll say, you know, I can't foresee this being any better. But really, if we think about it, every one of us that has been in a horrible situation was not in that situation before. In other words, there's very few things in life that we could say, oh, it's always been this way, literally, since the day we remember our first step.
I think it was Henry Ford said, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. So it's just a matter of looking at, you know, things can change. They change to get in this, they can change to come back out. That everything passes, everything.
Yeah, one of my favorite Bible quotes is, and it came to pass. It doesn't say it came to stay.
Right. Unless it was like a relative. Some of your relatives do that.
Well, no, we're not talking about relatives now, because they can't hang around too long. But the whole point of the whole matter is that you have to decide to make a choice. Mm-hmm.
So what does it take sometimes to get the big push, even if you're paralyzed by that fear? I mean, I know we visited that earlier, but when you just can't get the blinders off, and when you cannot see that extra choice that you were talking about, when they said, I didn't really have a choice, and you said there's another choice you just didn't see, what can people do to actually lift the blinder? I mean, when you don't see a choice.
Have you ever heard the expression, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the teacher's ready, the student will appear too. And what happens is something will create that thought process in your head. You'll start to think there's got to be something better. And that's your guidance. That's your higher self, if you will. That's the angel on your shoulder, whatever you want to call him, prodding you to remember what you already know. When you're uncomfortable in a situation, that's your guidance telling you you shouldn't be there.
Oh, I have to stop right there.
Uh-huh.
Because with growth, sometimes there is uncomfortableness and there's pain. And so if you find yourself in one of these spiritual, emotional, mental growth areas,
mm-hmm.
from my perception, you know, there is a little bit of discomfort there. And I have to disagree with you a little bit there, where there is a little bit of discomfort when you go from one level to the next. Now, I'm not saying it has to be intense or all the time.
I agree with you.
And so I don't know if that's
that wasn't the pain I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
But I'm glad you brought the point up. When you're miserable, when you are mentally despondent, you are not in a good place. When you are physically ill, it is because you are not in a good place in your head. That's what I'm talking about. As you grow, yeah, you're going to run into the little bumps and blips and stuff, but by the time you get to that level, you see them for what they are. You understand them for what they are. One of the things that I studied was the chakra system. One of the things that I learned is as you start working through the chakra, you run into these things called kriyas. And I thought, well, what in the world are they? And they are days when gravity is extremely dense around you, and you run into everything, and you drop everything, and you might have sneezing fits, and you might have a cold that springs up on you all of a sudden. These are growth things that your body goes through as you clean out all your stuff. Well, that happens all through your awakening, if you will. You will get to a mental and spiritual place to where, yeah, you're uncomfortable, but it's not an uncomfortable like, oh gosh, my knee hurts so bad today. It is a quandary of the mind. It's a trying to figure out what's going on. It's a casting about for the next step for guidance, from guidance.
Would you say that, in your opinion, and I mean, I have my own views, but I'm curious about yours, that people that get like sick, you know, the seasonal cold or flu or, you know, allergies or whatever, would you go so far as to say, from your experience, that they're possibly just fighting against what their life has become, and there's part of them, whether conscious or subconscious, that they want to move on or grow? How many people have said, or have friends, or have said themselves, you know, oh man, I just really don't want to go into work today?
Absolutely.
And I actually have had people where they'll get on Facebook and they'll be like, well, it looks like I'm going to be late for work because my car wouldn't start. And, you know, I knew I didn't want to go into work today. I'm like, whoa, 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 hold on a second. You said you did not want to go into work today. Your car wouldn't start, so you again had the opportunity to not go into work today. And now you're finding another way to go into work today. To me, from what I've experienced, it's just like your choices that you make, that you absolutely, you know, want to do, whether you're consciously aware of how much power you have to affect your reality or not, that is affecting your reality. That is affecting how your life progresses, how your life goes. And I see from what I do and what you do and what David talks about, and, you know, especially what we've talked about in previous episodes on this podcast, is when we get to that point where we get more conscious of how our intentions and our thoughts affect what we experience, it becomes very, very difficult to not take responsibility for our stuff. And for me personally, when I went through that, that was a huge spiritual growing pain.
I agree with you, Donald. Have you ever been walking through the house and there's this humongous spider on the floor and you levitate and then realize, oh, it's sock fuzz?
Yeah, I have done that.
Okay. That is because your brain and your body eavesdrop on each other constantly. You have a thought and your body reacts before you even know you've had the thought. That is chemistry. It happens with your neuropeptides that are flowing through your body. When you have a thought, oh, can't go to work. I got a cold. Your body's kind of like the universe. It hears you think these things, and it says, oh, okay, you want to hurt here? I'll give you hurty stuff here. Oh, you want this to happen? Sure. Okay, fine. I know this from personal experience. I was on the chiropractor's table one day, and he asked me a question. Now, I have a tendency to be very flip and very sarcastic. So my flip sarcastic side said, yes, that makes my butt twitch. And before I could get the sentence out of my mouth, my lower back went into spasm, which is why I was at the chiropractor's office. And he said to me, I think I see your problem. The only reason I use that terminology anymore is to teach this particular lesson. You think it, you're going to get it. Your body will happen quicker than the universe will, but it's got to be the same because we're all the same.
Right. So I think that goes back to, you know, what I was asking originally before I got a little distracted with my own thoughts. With people that have seasonal colds and flus and get sick and stuff like that, would you say that that would be a symptom of them going against their bliss, their higher self, what
actually,
they really want
to
do?
Actually, I think the seasonal colds and flu and stuff are because we're told that's what we're supposed to do. If you watch television from this particular perspective, you'll see what I'm talking about. Long about, well, let's see, we do all the Halloweeny stuff and all the Hallow Thanksmas and we get Christmas out of the way. And during those Christmas commercials, we start seeing ads for flu vaccines.
Oh, I started seeing those in August.
And all this, well, it gets to be critical mass through the colder seasons so that everybody is ready to be sick. You know the thing that they say about aspirin, when you're having a heart attack, take an aspirin, it'll make you feel better, it'll help you? Do you know that that works better in the United States than it does, oh, I don't know, say in the UK?
Oh, I did not know that.
Makes sense to me, yeah.
You know why?
Because that's what we're told.
Because we believe it.
Well, we have the commercials, they don't.
Oh, right, yeah. I like how they remind you.
Yeah, your body responds to everything that you hear, whether you consciously take it in or not. So if somebody tells you, oh, it's time to be sick, well, your body says, oh, okay, because your body doesn't have any filters.
Oh, yeah, it's as stupid as the subconscious.
Yeah. Now, if you are actively working with your subconscious by talking to yourself in the right way and doing proper affirmations and doing your meditations and all that kind of happy stuff, and you are telling your body, you know what, this is what we're listening to today, I am strong, I am healthy, I am this, I am that, instead of take a pill, get a shot, this will put you to sleep, this will wake you up, this will give you good bowel movements, this will make you happy, this will make you sad.
If you don't tell your body will tell you.
If your body's listening to all this stuff on TV and the radio, your body's going to hear it and it's going to do it. But if you're telling your body, it's going to listen to you. Because, hey, who's flying this machine anyway?
Right.
That's that living by committee that I was talking about earlier.
I personally have experienced that in the past year where a little over 12 months ago, for most of my life, I had a good 10, 15 hours of TV that I like to watch every, you know, week. And I would make time for it. You know, for whatever reason, I would find a way to see all of that stuff. And basically, it was pre-recorded, you know, old-school VCR VHS tapes, and I would just fast-forward through the commercials. Well, I found that even when I was watching live TV, I would mute the commercials because they were just annoying and wait for them to come back. I've noticed that in the past year where I have stopped watching TV stopped watching TV on the TV you know, watching it more online where not anywhere near as many commercials, and I've stopped listening to radio as much as well, that emotionally and mentally, I feel like I'm much more in tune with who I am. My guidance system, what we were talking about earlier, sounds so much crystal clear, clearer than it ever has in my whole life. I actually said, okay, if this is really the TV and, you know, all this media stuff, then if I sit down and watch TV like I used to for a week, I should lose some of that clarity. I should lose some of that pristine laser guidance that I've had for the past 6 months or so. And so I did that. And you know what? I was thinking a week would be enough. No, it took about half an hour. I watched three commercial breaks, and I was like, I literally could feel the energy in my body going from a higher level, sinking down. It was just like somebody pulling the covers off you and a whole bunch of hands starting to slowly press on you just a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. I'm like, we don't need to do a week. 30 minutes was more than enough. And so, yeah, I can totally see where you're coming from that, where we get trained by committee of all the things that we watch and what we do and everything like that. This has been an interesting year for me on the other hand, because I'll be out, you know, grocery shopping or, you know, doing something else, and somebody will make a comment like, man, I hate this time of year. You know, I always get sick. I'm like, you don't have to. Like, then, of course, you know, they start looking at you funny, like, where's that number to the people with the straight jackets?
Yeah, really. Well, what started me off on my path of creating Evolution of Self and what got me in my biggest growth spurt was when my doctor patted me on the head and told me to get used to being on drugs, fat, crippled, and in pain.
Mm.
That made me mad.
Yeah.
So I came home, and I stomped around the house and screamed and hollered and acted stupid. And I said to my husband, as he's standing there, sitting there wide-eyed watching me be an idiot, I said, so what do you think about all of this? And very calmly and very quietly, he said the words that changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, honey, stop being sick. Well, that spun
awesome.
Me up right through the roof. Have you lost your mind?
Oh, yeah.
So I went out on the front porch and stomped around and scared the neighbors and the cars and the horses and the children. And while I was out there fuming about this, I heard for the first time my guidance say to me, why don't you do that? And I thought, why don't I do that? I really am not having a good time here, so why don't I just stop? And that's what got Evolution of Self started. I went back to my chiropractor. He says, you're getting well quickly. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, and he said, when are you going to tell everybody? And I said, they don't want to hear this. And he said, oh, yeah? So that was my challenge, and that got me started on all of this that we've been talking about tonight. The spontaneous growth and the exponential growth has just been phenomenal.
Oh, I know.
And it was all because I chose to change what I was thinking about, and I chose to change the way I thought about it.
That is enormously powerful. I was hanging out with a group of friends about 8 years ago. For the most part, they were pretty negative, but, you know, being a social person, I wanted to hang out with them because I didn't feel like I had anywhere else to go. Well, I've been hanging out with them for a couple of years, and, you know, I had gotten to a point where I did the whole young thing where it's just like, I don't have much money anymore. Oh, wow, they're sending me free credit cards in the mail. Sweet. Mm-hmm. And I decided, well, let's try this. And, you know, this was in the late 90s, and I basically, you know, ran up a big balance and wasn't able to pay it off and anything like that. And then stuff happened, and I went to school, and I was eligible for student loans and stuff like that, and grants and as well. And basically what happened was they found me, and they sent me a letter, and they said, you still owe us money. We'd like it now. And I called them, and I talked to them, and I said, okay, how can we resolve this quickly and easily? And they said, basically, I'm not going to give the exact dollar amount. They said, if you can send us, this amount of money in the next 2 weeks, we'll call everything even and it'll all be good. And it's about a third of what I actually owed with interest over, 4 years. And I was like, can I get that in writing? Well, the thing is, I was living with my parents, so the student grants that I'd been getting, I'd been able to save that up, quarter after quarter. I had about $20 more than what they had asked for to make the whole thing evened out and everything good. I was talking to my friends, and I was just going, man, I'd spent all this time saving that money up, and I was feeling really good that I was having, an actual savings, and now I have hardly anything. And my friend, who loved playing devil's advocate for anything I said, he looked at me, deadpanned, and said, but you were able to pay it, right? And like, yeah, but, and like, but you were able to pay it, right? And like, and it took me a couple of seconds of him doing that, and I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. And I still had a little left over. And that goes along exactly with what you're saying, where the moment I realized what he was teaching me, I was just like, wow, the way that you look at things really paint the color of what your experience is. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, I got into, Wayne Dyer, who said the same thing. I was just like, yeah, okay, I get it. I got it, definitely. But, hey, David, we haven't heard from you for a while.
Oh, I've just been listening. It's just awesome stuff.
What's your take on what we've been talking about for the past few minutes?
What specifically? Because there's a lot of stuff there.
Well,
Wayne Dyer or the debt or.
Well, that was just like the past 3 minutes. I mean, okay. We've been.
Well, actually, there's something that kind of came to my mind while we were talking about, because we've been talking a little bit about, and Chessie, thank you for sharing the story about what you were going through kind of with your health and the chiropractor and your husband's enlightening statement to you. Sometimes I think what happens when we're talking about sickness and health is when we're kind of diverting from our truth. I'm going to use that term. I know it's been overused lately, but I still like it.
Mm-hmm.
I do too.
Yeah. It's so succinct, isn't it?
It's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of defines everything. When you start veering away from your guidance, then it'll still come back to you. There'll still be messages. There'll still be ways of indicating to you, okay, you're getting off track here. And I think physical illness is one of those things. It's kind of,
absolutely,
it keeps cranking itself up. Something that starts as maybe a little bit of a discomfort. And then there's also the spiritual discomfort that you were talking about a while ago, Donald, mm-hmm. when you're talking about sometimes you go through these really uncomfortable times. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's spiritual. I believe that the greater the discomfort, the more we've veered off of the path. And when I say path, I'm not talking about destiny. I'm talking about what resonates with us, what resonates with our passion, our creativity, our self-expression, and our self-love. When we start to veer off of that, to get back sometimes takes greater and greater jolts. I think there's a correlation. And we're always going off and on our path. There's always a bit of an adjustment. So there'll always be a little discomfort one way or another. But I think the degree of it sometimes has to do with where we are. And I think when we're more in tune with who we are and where we are, even when it seems like for some people, it'd be a big swing, and you'd say, how could you possibly live through that? You'll have a sense of perspective saying, everything is going to be okay, and I'm going to be okay because I am inviolate, I am eternal, I am. And I embrace that, and I embrace everything that comes with gaining this beautiful experience that this incarnation or whatever incarnation is giving us. And not to say this doesn't suck, because it sucks, but I know it'll pass. I know that I can grow from it. I know that if I take the value in this, if I take the part of life that, is precious from this, I think we can kind of process it a little better, and then it doesn't become suffering. I think when we get to the point of suffering, that's when we're really lost and we've really gotten off track.
My guru told me once, don't ever suffer over your own suffering. I didn't know what she meant until recently. But one of the things I teach is for everything to be your next best thing. And people kind of look at me and go, "Huh." About 2 years ago, I thought I had breast cancer. I got to tell you, I was a little upset by that prospect. Yeah. And I was a lot scared. And for about 2 days, I was kind of not able to move. The fear had just absolutely stopped me in my tracks. And I knew, because I teach this to other people all the time, that I needed to break out of that below the fear level thing. And so I decided, all right, I'm going to set my timer. I live by a timer, folks. Set my timer for 5 minutes. And I said, okay, I'm just going to be as scared as I want to be for 5 minutes, and then it's over. So I set my timer for 5 minutes, and I went ahead and just wallowed in the fear. I cried. I hid. I did everything that I felt like I needed to do to be afraid of this thing. And when the timer went off, I went and washed my face, took a deep breath, and decided, okay, this is my next best thing. To which my husband said, huh? And I said, okay, if I have this heinous thing, then I can use my awakening here to teach other people how not to be afraid.
Okay.
Now, if I don't have this heinous thing, I can use this experience to teach people how the next best thing can change the way you think about things and help them get through things like this. And within 2 seconds of saying this to my husband, the fear was completely gone. And I was able to go back into the office for the second visit, not afraid. And I honestly believe that had I continued to be fearful of this, I would have had it and then some.
Absolutely.
By allowing it to be what it was, a lesson, because it's what everything is. When you get to a certain level, you realize that everything's a lesson. And I was able to embrace it as my next best thing. I could let go of the fear and live in gratitude, love, and grace, which is where I try to stay. And it just absolutely turned it all around because I stopped thinking about it one way and began thinking about it another way.
Mm-hmm. That's happened to me a lot over the past year, where my personal life has kind of started moving and transitioning a lot. For me, my whole thing with what I do and what I work with personally is about choice, you know, helping people to make choices, find the choices that will move them to a more fulfilled life, a more happier life. And I loved what you said where, you know, you kind of had to take your own medicine, because that happens to me as well. It's like, okay, this is what you help other people with. Now help yourself with this whole thing.
And boy, isn't that a humbling experience.
Oh yeah. And one of the things that I found is once I started going through my options, it's like, okay, we're going to take the emotional aspect, we're going to try to take that down a couple notches and see what actually are our choices. And once I got to about the second or third choice, I'd be like, oh, well, this is obvious. The way is absolutely clear for where my guidance is pulling me. It happened, and you said 2 seconds. I'm like, yeah, that to a lot of people, that might seem like, you know, really fast for something that major. But no, it actually, for me especially, you know, it happened literally in 2 seconds as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you get in alignment, it is pretty instant. And then you know it, and it's easy to just kind of stay on that track.
You're right. And as you vibrate higher, and as you become more and more consciously aware of things, your growth gets faster and faster. And these squirmy aha growth moments become closer and closer together.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you completely. Well, Chessy, I think I speak for both David and I, where we have absolutely loved having you as our guest tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. I have so enjoyed being here. This is wonderful.
Can you tell our listeners again where they can find more information about what you do and who you are?
Sure. I'm on Facebook, and you can find me under Chessy Roberts on Facebook. If you friend me, I can send you an invitation to join the Evolution of Self Journey into Body, Mind, Spirit Balance page. And I have a blog also. It's at Chessies, chessieseos.blogspot.com. And I'm hoping in the next couple of days to have a website up so that you can email me and find me a little easier.
Yeah, probably by the time this goes live, you know, knock on wood, we'll have your website.
Yeah, it's been quite a challenge, I got to tell you.
Well, I can imagine.
But we'll get there.
We'll definitely put links to that, to the website and to your blog on
Very
to
cool.
the show
Thank
notes,
you.
Definitely. Oh,
well,
yeah, absolutely.
Completely.
I mean, I love the blog. I actually subscribe to it through RSS feed, and
I
think
cool.
it's fantastic.
Thank you. I enjoy writing. It's a lot of fun to share with everybody.
Yeah. And David, you have a blog too, right?
Yeah, I've got my blog, the I Am the Minister of Myself, myownminister.wordpress.com. There's a link on the page as well for that. And that's where I kind of share my own personal adventures and spiritual growth.
Yeah.
Very good. And I've been seeing you've been having a preaching frenzy lately with the amount of posts with your blog that you've come out, and they are just absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, something ramped up, and I've just been kind of really cathartic lately. So it's been good. I love it. It's a very cathartic process. It's just incredible.
Oh, very cool.
I will have to check your blog out. I didn't realize you had one, although I should have known, huh?
yeah, definitely check it out.
I will do that.
And as always, if you would like assistance removing subconscious programming or personal coaching from me, or even help finding your true passion and path in life, visit me at www.dondalton.com and sign up for a session.
When being whole is your goal, join Chessie Roberts, that's me, at Evolution of Self, Journey into Body, Mind, Spirit Balance.
So for Take the Red Pill, I am Donald Dalton, wishing you an amazing destiny.
And this is David Deere. Keep your karma burning brightly.